Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
To start today by making an honest confession to everybody. Growing up, I really wanted nothing more than to be a ninja. Now, I don't know if this was because I timed out to grow up in the era of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or, right? Ryan, you get me, bro, right? I don't know if it was that. You know, realistically, I think probably most teenage boys go through a ninja phase at some point. But this was a thing for me. And in fact, it wasn't just like sort of a passive interest. Like most things, I began to try and figure out, okay, how can I make this come true? And so I began to research and plan. I got involved with some of the training at some point. It was a thing. And this led to some interesting adventures along the way. I remember one Friday night in high school, I'm sitting around with some of my friends and we're trying to come up with what to do. And I go, oh, I know what we should do. Let's do like a ninja training exercise. This is gonna be awesome. And so we plan this whole thing out. We've got a sentry who's like guarding something and the ninjas have to try and steal it and all of this. And we get to it. Now, to recreate the story here, I actually found something. I couldn't believe I still have this, but this was what I was wearing. So I wanna kind of give you guys the full effect, right? So we get into all of our ninja gear here. So, you know, which is of course, you know, all black, head to toe. So we've got black, and I've got a face mask on too. I can't really do that with the microphone, you know, so you'll have to imagine that my face is covered in all of this, right? But so I'm all suited up, I'm ready to go. And I'm sneaking around, I'm trying to get to the treasure, all of this, and we're having the time of our life. Until my next door neighbor spots me hiding in the bushes. And about 10 minutes later, there's a squad car on our block. And you know, it's got its lights going and everything. And it pulls up in front of my parents' house, and I'm about a house or two down, and I'm like hiding behind a car, you know, like looking through the thing, and I'm like, I don't know how this ends, but this doesn't end well. And so I'm looking, and I'm like, what do I do, you know? I don't know. Well, next thing I know, they've got my brother. He's up against the car. They're batting him down, you know? And I just hear him saying, honestly, officers, it's just a game. I know this doesn't look good, but we weren't, you know? He's trying to explain it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, he can talk his way out of this, right? I mean, he'll be fine. He doesn't need it. And I'm, no. I should give myself up. So I give myself up, and you know, lightens the eyes, all that. And when they saw there was a bunch of us, they realized, yes, this was just indeed high school kids having fun. So they gave us a slap on the wrist and a stern lecture that one might have a better idea for Friday nights. And we got off okay. Didn't tell my parents until a couple of years ago. Happened while they were home, and somehow we got away without too much there. It was one of my few run-ins with the cops. Interestingly, it was never for being bad. It was just always being too creative. That was how it worked. Now, hold on here. To conclude my little ninja illustration, let's see if I can still do something. You guys ready? You ready? Here we go. This is gonna be epic. This is gonna be perfect. Ha! Still got it. Oh, thanks for having fun. No, so this ninja thing was like a thing for me. And I was reflecting on that a little bit this past week, and I was like, why was I so interested in that? Actually, why am I still so interested in that? Like, I would do that if I could find a way to turn it into a revenue source, I think. What appeals to me there? And I realized that what appeals to me is this idea of living like resolutely committed to a mission. I love the idea of being like, my life is for something, I'm dedicated to something, right? And I think this is why we like our Mission Impossible movies. It's what's kind of behind the Marvel phenomenon and all of this. We love the idea of like, I'm living towards something. And I think that that resonates in so many of our hearts because it's in God's heart. God's actually like that. God loves to live towards something. And what we're celebrating this season and every Christmas season is the initiation of God's great mission. It's the beginning of God kicking off the cosmic rescue plan. Only the way God does it is so different than the way I would do it. Like if I'm God, I'm like, all right, here we go. Time to flex my God muscles. I've been waiting for like all of history to do this. This is gonna be awesome. All right, let's get 10,000 legions of angels and storm the beaches. That's not what God does. In fact, he goes all ninja style. He sneaks in as a baby. What? Like seriously think about that, right? So if you're God, do you make your grand entrance by doing something that happens every day already? Like it's already, like thousands of babies born all the time in Israel. And he's like, I'm gonna go in as a baby. What gives? Well, God knows something. And what he knows is that in his presence is the solution to every problem. He doesn't need to send legions of angels. He needs to get his presence on earth. And if we can connect with his presence, we can access the solutions to the problems in our lives. See, but I don't know about you, I tend to still be looking for the angels. Come on, God, I got problems. I got this relational tension. I got that work problem. I've got this financial issue. Where's the angels? They're just twiddling their thumbs up there. Could you send a few? Solve a few things for me? I'm still looking for the other solution. And I forget that the presence God sent as the first Christmas gift has never left. The solutions are still within his presence. The problem is that I don't always know how to recognize that. It's like God has given us a bank account with $1 billion, but some of us don't know where the debit card is. It doesn't help you if you can't access it. Today, we're gonna talk about recognizing the presence. Because if we can't recognize the presence, we won't be able to receive from God's presence. Let's pray. Jesus, you are so good. We love you. Thank you for sneaking into the earth 2,000 years ago. And thank you that in bringing your presence, you brought the solution that has never left in the time since. God, I'm asking that as we take the rest of our time together here today, Lord, in this room and every other place that people are experiencing this, Lord, would you take this as a vessel and fill it with your presence? I don't want just our ideas. We don't want to just sing, our best songs or pray our best sentiments. God, this is about experiencing who you are. Would you take this time? Would you fill it right now? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So when we talk about recognizing the presence, recognizing his presence, I should say, what are we talking about? What is it that we're trying to learn to recognize? Well, this can seem pretty abstract, and so let's kind of unpack it for just a little bit. When we talk about the presence of God, sometimes we can get confused because when we use the term present, we often are referring to physical presence. Wherever you're experiencing this message right now, be it here in Urbana, whether you're hanging in Bloomington or Sullivan, if you're catching it online, maybe you're even listening podcast months later. But however you're experiencing this message, it's because of your physical presence somewhere. You're experiencing it because of where you are. But the problem is that's not really a helpful concept when it comes to talking about God's presence, because we know God is everywhere. So what does it mean to experience the presence of a God who's omnipresent? That's confusing. Well, when we talk about the presence of God, we're not talking about physical presence. We're talking about another dimension of presence. We're talking about something that might be closer described as engagement. See, even as I speak here, I can look out and surprise, not only can you see me, I can see you. And I can see that different of you are engaged at different levels as I share. Some of you are sitting on the edge of your seat. You're like, I haven't heard Putty in a while. Oh, this is great. This is gonna be such a good message. Some of you guys are disengaged. You're like, oh, Putty, he uses long words, you know? to see a few of you on Facebook. You! No, just kidding. Right? Some of you are disengaged. Some of you never had the chance to engage because you're still engaged with the fight you had with your spouse on the way here. Right? Yeah, I know. Happens to me too. Happens to all of us. It's part of church, I think. Engagement is a level, and we use the same term present, right? I want to be fully present. What do we mean? Not just physically present, but mentally and emotionally present as well. And it requires both sides to be mentally and emotionally present to create a relational connection. All right, let me give you an example. Let's suppose a couple goes out on a date, okay? And I'll play this out, right? We've got the gal, we've got the guy. One of them is present, the other one isn't. I'll let you guess which is which, right? Gal's like, oh, thanks for asking me out. This is such a nice restaurant. So appreciate all the work that you did picking this. And the guy's like, yeah, yeah, oh, sure. Yeah, no, it was good. No, hold on just a second. Beep, you know? I was like, okay, cool. Let's just pick meal, you know? Let's look at the menu. Oh, a lot of good options. What looks interesting here? Looks like the steak's pretty well rated, I guess, you know? Hey, you want to catch a movie afterwards? I'm actually watching a movie right now. You want to see it? You know, hold on. You know, bing, did you just text me you're having a good time? Like, that doesn't make any sense, right? We laugh because we know that date's not going to work, right? One person being present mentally and emotionally, if the other isn't, there's no relational connection happening. When we're talking about recognizing and receiving from God's presence, what we're talking about is, where is God engaged in your life right now? Where is he leaning in for relational connection? And where can we learn to set down our distractions and engage with him as well? Because when we engage with him as well, that relational connection happens in a concrete place and time. Not just sort of out there somewhere, but it's happening in real time in a real place. And that relational connection forms the bridge for the resources of heaven to flow into the problems of earth. So when we're talking about learning how to recognize God's presence, we're talking about a relational mechanic, a relational dynamic we're trying to engage with. Now, what makes this a bit tricky is that learning to recognize God's presence is not just a one-dimensional thing. There's not like one thing to look for. In fact, there's a few layers of God's presence we have to learn to partner with. The first is God's presence with us. God's presence with us is actually the great promise of Christmas. In Matthew 1, in the very beginning, you know, Gabriel shows up and he's telling Joseph and Mary, you know, you're going to have a son and all of this. And right after all of that, here's what it says, quoting Isaiah, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." The promise of Christmas, the promise of God's presence with us. God is one of your friends. And God is really committed to friendship. He values friendship over servanthood, it turns out. And God is active and involved in your life as a friend, just like any of your friends would be. I know in my friendships, sometimes there's a situation where I can see something is happening and it's going to damage one of my friends. So I get involved. I do something to cancel this so it doesn't harm him or her. Maybe there's another situation where I see there's an opportunity that I can help prepare the way for. So I begin to open doors so that my friend can begin to walk through it. This is the kind of thing that God's doing in our life all of the time. He is with us as one of our friends. And make no mistake, being a friend of God puts you in the most elite club in the world. God is postured open towards everyone, but he is not friends with everyone. He can be a friend with you. In fact, I think every holiday season, because Christmas is about God with us, I think every holiday season, because our culture honors this holiday, even though our motives are all mixed up and confused, still, almost unanimously, our entire country celebrates Christmas for a month every year. It's pretty unique. There's nothing else that we do like that. We create a whole thing about it, right? I think because we honor Christmas, there's actually a fresh grace for God's presence drawing near to us every holiday season. It's like we say yes to God's heart for the season without even realizing it. Now, often we don't understand that for what it is. There's terms that get used like Christmas magic, right? Spirit of the holidays. Now, that's actually a real thing. It's just not like out there. It's actually God's presence. When you're there and maybe you're having the holiday gathering and you're gathered with your family or your friends, maybe you've just eaten a meal, you know, there's Christmas music playing, you've got the lights on the trees, and you have that moment where all of a sudden your heart is so full you feel like it could burst. What's happening? You're experiencing God with us. You're experiencing his presence in your family gathering. God is with us. We have to learn to recognize that presence. God is also in us. This is the promise of Easter. The promise that Jesus says, I'm going to die, I'm going to resurrect, and I'm going to make you brand new so that the Father and I can come and make our home in you. And what Easter means and the presence of God in us means is that our very humanity can be a vessel for experiencing God himself. Let's, again, just think about this. Don't just let this be words. This isn't supposed to be words and ideas that tickle our minds. It's a description of reality. And what that means is this. You're not the only one in there. You are not the only one in there, if you're a follower of Jesus. If you're not, we can fix that today, right? But you're not the only one in there. There's another person in here. He moved in when you made a covenant. It's legal, right? He moved in, and he lives inside of here. And he does stuff inside of here. Not everything that happens in your house is a result of you. Some of it is a result of him. And so you begin to notice that, you know, there's thoughts that are happening inside of me that I would at first think are me. But if I think carefully, I realize that probably doesn't make a lot of sense. Begin to experience feelings that aren't coming from myself, dreams that don't come from me. Don't naively think that everything that happens in your house is you. Turns out he's in there too. And he's involved a lot more than we might think. A lot more. Right now, he's watching the sermon through you. If there's any moments where you're like, yeah, you know what? He's saying a little amen in there too. He is. In fact, don't take this the wrong way, but I hope he's liking it more than you are. He's in there. And this is a real thing. We can learn to connect with God through our own humanity. I asked God this question a couple of weeks ago. I said, God, what do you like to do in me? This is a great question. If you've never asked it, I want to encourage you to ask that question. What do you like to do in me? His answer to me really surprised me. He said, Putty, I like to think in you. I thought, huh, I got to think about that, right? Now, I was like, I don't know what I was expecting, but I'm sure it was more religious than that. You know, I was expecting pray or give or serve or something like that. So I like to think in you. And as I reflected on it, which I immediately wanted to think about it, I was like, huh, you know, some of the most life-giving times for me have been times when I've allowed myself to just dream about life and the future and the way the world is and the way that it could be and just allow, like, my heart and my mind to explore that space. Those have been some of the most life-giving things for me and some of the most profound moments that have directed the course of my life. And here I thought it was just my personality. What if that rich and satisfying life that Jesus promises, he's always working to give you whether you recognize him or not? I was talking with someone last night after the service. She said, Putty, that was such a good question. So I asked it during worship, and you know what God said to me? He said, I'd love to cheer through you. And I was like, that's awesome. And I thought about it, and I was like, that is so right, because you are like the consummate encourager. I don't know anyone else who's more encouraging than you. It really is God cheering through you. What does God like to do through you? How does God actually fill you up and make you full of more life? Because he's moving through you. God in us is not about erasing us, it's about fulfilling us. His presence with us, his presence in us. We also have to learn to recognize his presence upon us. And this is the promise of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh. And when the presence of God comes upon us, it's about an empowering to do something that only he could do, to represent God on the planet. And what Pentecost means for us is this: every moment is pregnant with the possibilities of eternity. There is not a moment that you live that the Holy Spirit may not begin to fall upon you or fall upon who you're with. And all of a sudden, it's like the rules of the game change and God is involved. God is doing something and he's inviting you into a partnership with that presence as it comes upon us. To learn a little bit about that, I wanted to read a portion of the Christmas story. This happens right after Jesus is born. So we've had the shepherds come and, you know, that whole scene. And the very next thing that happens is in Luke 2. And so we're going to make our way through that. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Okay, now, all of that is context, and we can just sort of like blah, 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 read past that. But there's actually some helpful information in there. So let's set the scene a bit. First of all, it says, when the time of purification was completed. If you dig through the Old Testament, what that tells you is this is 40 days after Jesus is born. So Jesus is 40 days old. He's born on Christmas night, and they hang out in Jerusalem for a little more than a month after that. At the end of that, they bring him to the temple. Now, this was something that every Jewish family had to do. Their firstborn son, they would bring to the temple, and the priest would bless that firstborn son, and it was kind of like a, you know, God, you've given me this gift, and I just bless you as sort of the first fruits of my family, and so I'm kind of like giving my firstborn son back to you. This is like a routine thing to do. That's why it says this. In the law of Moses, this is what everybody did. So in other words, like Mary and Joseph are going about getting Jesus' birth certificate. This is not like a glorious, amazing thing. This is like an everyday, normal thing. And so they go to the temple, and it says they give the offering of a pair of pigeons or turtle doves. Now, again, if you dig through the Old Testament, what you'll find is that in that offering, there were two possibilities you could give. You could give a lamb if you had a little bit more money, or you could give turtle doves or pigeons if you had less money. And so what this tells us is that Mary and Joseph were not well off. So imagine this. We've got this young couple that doesn't really have much money. They wind up having to go down, you know, all the way from where they live down to Jerusalem, down to Bethlehem, to do this census thing. It times out perfectly wrong for them, so that when they get down there, they have the baby and they have to live more than a month away from home when they already don't have much money. So we have this poor couple that's just trying to get this done so we can get back to home. And so they come into the temple. They're like, last thing, okay, let's get this done so we can get out of here. This is the scene. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. So while this happens, Mary and Joseph, they're on their way to the temple. Meanwhile, there's this guy, Simeon, who lives in Jerusalem. Now, by the way, Jerusalem's the biggest city in Israel at this time. And Simeon was not there at the birth of Jesus, which didn't even happen in Jerusalem. It happens in Bethlehem. So Simeon does not know who Jesus is. Simeon does not know, oh, this is the day that I should go to the temple. Simeon is like somewhere else in Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes upon him and is like, go to the temple. So he shows up because something is happening. He's like being obedient. I don't know why I'm here. I'm here in the spirit, not with a plan. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I'm supposed to be here right now. He came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, so they're bringing him to the priest. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to bring him to the priest and say, here's my son, you know, would you dedicate him to the Lord, all of that. But it says, he took him up in his arms. So in the middle of this like normal routine thing, this guy Simeon comes in and he's like, hold on. This baby's not supposed to be dedicated by the priest. This baby's supposed to be dedicated by the Holy Spirit. So he takes him up in his arms. And he blessed God and he said, Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. So he takes Jesus in his arms and he begins to prophesy to him. And to kind of like decode that from Bible speak, here's what he says. It's intense. He's like, God, I can now die. The purpose of my life is fulfilled. This prophecy is what my life was about. That's what he's saying. I have now seen who this is. He's a glory for Israel and to all peoples. This is what it's about. This dedication moment is what the entirety of his life is about. Now, can you imagine this moment for Mary and Joseph? We just came to the DMV to renew our driver's license, and all of a sudden, stuff's happening. This is the beauty of this story. God wants to layer his super on top of our natural. It's about everyday life. It's not about like escaping your normal life into the realm of the supernatural. It's about the fact that in every moment, even the moment when you're going to the DMV, the Holy Spirit might begin to fall and get involved. It's about every moment is pregnant with the possibilities of eternity. When you're at work, when you're with your family. Sure, when you're at church, but certainly don't limit it there. Every moment is pregnant with it. So Simeon is prophesying. It says his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. I would too. I was just here to get the birth certificate. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. It's going to be divisive because leadership always is. And for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. It's going to affect you too. So that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin and then as a widow until she was 84. So we've got this gal, Anna. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. She lives in the temple, worshiping and fasting God, and she has for years upon years upon years upon years. Now, she was not at Jesus' birth. She's not even in the scene with Simeon. She's somewhere else in the temple. She's hanging out, she's worshiping, she's fasting, she's doing her thing. But you know what she is? She's in tune with the Spirit. She's a prophetess. And so all of a sudden the antenna go up. Bzz, something's happening. God's doing something, right? And coming up at that very hour, the Lord's doing something. She steps in. Coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is who this baby is. This is who this baby is. How can she do that? Prophetically. Because she's tuned in with what God's doing. The Holy Spirit has come upon her. And you know what is one of my favorite verses in this whole passage? The next couple. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Right back into normal life. Right back into all of the stuff that we can, oh, it's boring. No, God made your normal life. He loves it. He wants to come upon that. The Holy Spirit is longing to come upon us and partner with us. But one of the challenges I think we face, especially in 2018, double especially in the holiday season in 2018, is that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's usually inconvenient. I was having a conversation with Julie a couple of weeks ago. We were planning a staff meeting and thinking about doing some prayer and some ministry and stuff like that at the end. And we were thinking about it. She goes, well, what are you guys thinking? Are you hearing anything? Is there anything we should do? And I just remember saying, you know, I don't know what God's going to do. Like, I'm not hearing anything right now. But what I do know is that in the time, I will know. Like, God will be here. He'll come upon us and we'll know what to do then. We're not going to know what to do now. Now, what was I doing? I was reserving room for the presence. See, unfortunately, in our lives, we so often don't reserve any room for God to fill. We've got our lives crowded so full to the margins that we never are interruptible by the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus himself had a lot of his signs and wonders that happened because he's interrupted. He's on the way to the centurion. The woman with the issue of blood grabs his garment. He's trying to hide from the crowds to get some vacation. They follow him, and he multiplies the food to feed the 5,000. It's because he allowed himself to be interruptible that he could recognize the presence was beginning to come upon him. What I've experienced about the presence of God coming upon us is that we usually don't know where it's going at first. The woman at the issue of blood grabs Jesus' garment, and he goes, who was that? He doesn't know who it was. He doesn't know what happened. He's actually, like, trying to figure it out. What he does know is that something is happening. The rules of the game have changed. This is now a supernatural moment. This isn't a normal moment. This is a supernatural moment. And so, even though I don't know what's happening, I'm going to step into the confusion. I'm going to reserve space for his presence. And when I step into that space, then I'm going to begin to figure it out. I remember a couple of years, I think this was a couple of years ago, we were doing a, some of you are probably here actually, we were doing a baptism service. And after the message, Clay jumps up, grabs the microphone, and he's like, I think that some of you guys need to get baptized right now. You didn't come, you didn't come prepared, but this is what God's doing. If you want to get baptized, come on up, right? He says this, and literally, like, Clay, do you remember how many? Like, 40 people come up, something like that. I don't remember the exact number, but it was in that ballpark. Some of you guys, you remember that, right? People just come streaming up, and the line was, like, all the way up the side. We were baptizing people at, like, 1:30, 1:45. I mean, it was crazy. The water was disgusting. It was a thing, right? And I remember, you know, a lot of us as a staff were talking in the middle of that, and we're saying stuff like this, what is happening right now? See, because when the kingdom is engaging, when the presence is coming upon us, we don't usually know what's happening, but what we do know is the rules have changed. Like, this is not normal. Normal things are not happening right now. The kingdom rules are now in play. And so even though I don't understand, even though this doesn't make sense to me, I'm going to step into it. I'm going to reserve space for it. Where would it be good for you to begin to reserve some space for God's presence this holiday season? It could be simple things. You know, as we were worshiping last night, I just saw this picture of, you know, you come out of the store, and a lot less these days, but they're still around. There's the person there with the bell that's often raising money, right? And I don't know about you, but sometimes I just pretend I didn't see him. Because I got my thing. I got to go. Or sometimes I do see him, and I kind of stop and I give some change or whatever, and I keep going. But I just saw this picture, and I feel like this captures the spirit of it. It's not like this is the only time it can happen. But what if we saw that person, and we just took 1 second, and we say, God, what are you doing right here? And I saw a picture, at least of myself, and I'm going to do this next chance I get. You can take this if it resonates with you. I just saw a picture of myself walking up and laying hands on that bucket and leaving a deposit of the presence of God on that bucket, because that presence of God is going to draw money. Sure, I'll give whatever I got, but if we leave the presence of God, there's going to be a whole lot more that comes. What if there's God moments around us all the time if we'll reserve a little bit of room? In his presence is the answer to every problem. And as we learn to recognize God with us, God in us, God coming upon us, we can see that that first Christmas gift is really the only real Christmas gift. Everything else is an outflow of that gift. Now, as we conclude here, I want to take just a couple of minutes and reserve some room for his presence. So I don't know exactly what we're going to do, but Holy Spirit, would you just like direct this? Because I intentionally didn't plan. That would be against what I'm trying to talk about. Okay, this is interesting. And this is like Sullivan and Bloomington, I want you guys with us here too. This isn't just for Urbana. I feel like God is saying that there's something with worship that he wants to release right now. And so let's do this. Like, I want to include you if you're a member of the worship team, but I don't want this to be about worship teams. I want this to be about worshipers. Some of us, worship just like burns in our heart. And if you're that person, would you go ahead and stand up now? I know there's many of us on all of our campuses. Worship just like burns in your heart, okay? It's awesome. Yeah, just kind of keep standing as. Okay, now, for others of us, right now, there's something that's beginning to happen on us. The presence is actually beginning to come upon us. Maybe we're physically feeling like, I don't know what's happening, but I almost feel like something's pressing on me. Or maybe your heart is beating really, really fast, and it's almost like you're looking forward to something. Or maybe like you're just like, I don't know what's happening, but this is a weird moment. That's the presence of God coming upon you. And he wants to use you to release whatever needs to be released. So if that's happening to you in any form or any fashion, would you stretch your hands out? Okay? I mean, if you're standing and it's happening to you, that's great. But for many of us, that's where we're sitting, okay? That's awesome, okay? Now, here's what we're going to do, okay? I just want you guys to join me in this prayer. You don't have to pray with me, but whether your hands are out or not, just kind of pray this prayer with me, okay? Father, we bless what you're releasing in worship in this place right now. I thank you, God, that worship so often causes breakthrough. Worship goes first, God. Worship is what takes down Jerichos, God. And we bless right now what you're releasing in worship. We bless these people, God, that are called to be worshipers. And Father, right now, we just ask that you would anoint them, God, to join into the worship activity of heaven. Lord, the 24/7 activity of lifting you up that exists out there, we bless you guys right now to join in that activity in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, would you come upon them and even empower not just a natural worship, but a supernatural worship? We bless that. And as that happens, God, I ask that you'll use worship now as you did back then. God, that you'll use worship to cut for the breakthrough. You'll use worship to break down the stuff that we can't solve any other way, but you can solve it through worship. We bless you guys. Receive just the anointing and the favor of worship that exists in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us or join our Vineyard Live Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.